Hey there, I'm Siobhan Reed, your guide here on Future Health Now, where we're all about advocating for health equity and generational wellness starting today. If you're a public health professional, a parent, or a community leader concerned about the well-being of our next generation, then you are in the right place. A great way to plug into this community is to sign up for our monthly newsletter at futurehealthnow.com, where we'll keep you informed about upcoming events, educational content, and ways to stay engaged. In this episode, we dive deep into a journey from depression to body psychotherapy. We will explore the profound insights shared by my friend, Naomi Murad, who bravely faced her own trauma and now guides others through healing. Discover the importance of processing subconscious beliefs, understanding the connection between emotions and the body, and embracing the power of facing our pain for true personal transformation. I hope this episode will guide healing for you or inspire you to guide someone else needing to put in the work. Hi, Naomi. How are you today?
I'm great, Siobhan. So happy to be here.
Yes, I've been looking forward to this conversation. Let's jump right in. Can you share a bit about your background and how it led you to body psychotherapy?
My background. By the time I was 27, I found myself severely depressed. I just gave birth to my second daughter and I just couldn't snap out of my depression. And I originally thought that I was going to become a news anchor. That was my original dream. And it took me many years, but that's a different story why I wanted to become a news anchor. Meanwhile, I had my first child, my second, and I sort of dropped that dream. I realized that's not what I want to be and wanted to help people somehow, but I didn't really know how. I just knew that I wanted to help people heal. And then after the second birth, I found myself falling into 8 months of depression. And then a friend of mine, she said, you know, I have this great therapist. He does this body psychotherapy, which means he works, what he did is different from what I do today, but basically it's through the body processing trauma. Everything that happens to us happens on all levels, happens in our bodies, in our cells, in our minds, our brains. So I started my therapy with him. And then I decided that that's what I was going to study. So that was a 3-year course. And then from then on, I went on and dove deeper and deeper into this field of body psychotherapy.
Wow. Now, what does it mean when you say processing of trauma in the subconscious?
Well, I'll start the other way around.
Okay.
Traditional psychotherapy. We speak about the problem, we analyze it, we process it cognitively so that everything, all the processing comes from our thinking mind. But even you and I speaking right now, you pay attention, there's something that's happening in your body posture, the way you're holding your body, your breath. Like basically everything that we do and we experience not just in here, we actually experience it on all levels, meaning in our bodies, in our cells, in our minds. And when I work with people, I take them back to the core, the root core of the trauma, which is usually related to early childhood trauma. When we start processing that, a lot of the subconscious things that we don't remember in our minds, but they're stored within our subconscious, which means also our cells, our body, our brain. That's subconscious processing. Bypass the thinking mind. All sorts of memories and emotions show up that are stored within us, but we're not consciously aware of them.
So why is it important to let go of beliefs and patterns?
Beliefs and patterns. So let's say my parents are very cold to me, not very loving, not very attentive, always busy with other things. Then in order for us as children to make sense of that neglect, that coldness, that lack of interest, or the lack of presence, the way to cope it is by justifying it and creating beliefs such as, I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. Or when our parents put us down, or teachers will say, oh, you're not smart enough, you're stupid, you know, you didn't get it, you didn't this, that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or any kind of abuse, you know, in order to make sense of all of these traumatic things that we encounter in our lives, we have only one way of coping with them. Mm-hmm. And that's by taking responsibility, by creating beliefs. So if it's my fault, then I have control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. But it's my way of feeling like I have control, because if it's my fault what the adults are doing, then I feel okay. Then must be me. I'm not good enough. Then we take these beliefs and they play out in everything we do in our lives. They affect everything we touch. They affect everything the way we look at it. It's like, you know, that saying where you say you see life through a certain lens, experience
mm-hmm.
everything through that lens. So our subconscious beliefs, they are the lens through which we perceive life.
Right. And you say every emotion, there's like a feeling in the body. And I feel like I can, that resonates with me, because at different times I can notice like I'm carrying a little bit of anxiety, like maybe in my shoulders, or I may be having some kind of feeling in my stomach, almost like the butterflies that people are familiar with, but it also applies to other types of emotions as well, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
So when you think about traditional therapy versus body psychotherapy, what are like the key differences?
The key difference is that there's only so much we can process in our thinking mind. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't remember everything. And our thinking mind, it doesn't remember what's stored inside our bodies and our cells. It doesn't remember necessarily the beliefs that are stored deep within. Because when trauma occurs, we create like a split. It's called dissociation. We dissociate oftentimes from what is happening to us because it's so painful and we have no coping mechanisms during trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So the way to survive is to dissociate, to disconnect from what is happening. And that
right.
disconnection is like a forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm in traditional psychotherapy, I speak about the things that happen in my daily life, the issues I'm facing, whether it's depression, anxiety, relationship issues, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I only understand it to a certain level because a lot of the information is out of my access. Like a lot of the information is dissociated. In body psychotherapy, we subconsciously, we bypass the thinking mind.
Mm-hmm.
Access everything that is underneath that. And that is because the work is just very different. I use brain spotting and inner child healing and guided imagery. I use a lot of different techniques
mm-hmm.
that work with the body, with the emotion. And through that, we access what is underneath.
That's interesting that you say that, because I know for me, like some of the trauma that I experienced, I did compartmentalize it and just kind of like stored it off somewhere and didn't like think about it, try to forget it, ignore it. But then at different points, it will just like kind of creep up. And it's, I don't know, it's like a trigger, you know, that's like one of the common ways we refer to it nowadays. But so it just going to have like traditional therapy, you say we talk about it and we're over and over, but what is that distinct line of difference when it comes to the whole body psychotherapy piece of it?
In body psychotherapy, I will always ask my clients, for example, you tell me, you know, I feel anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you feel that anxiety? You'll say, oh, I have this pain in my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So I already make that connection that the emotion also has a place in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything, every emotion, every feeling is, every memory is stored both in our bodies and our subcortical brain, which is like the back part of our brain. It's like, think of it like a container that stores everything that we've ever experienced. on all levels. Good to bad, everything, even you and me talking right now is being stored in there. So in brain spotting, we say where you look affects the way you feel. So think about it. Sometimes you talk about something and you stop staring into a certain direction while you talk about it. And it's not because you don't want to look the person in the eye that you're talking to, but it's just where your thought is going, and it helps you like focus and concentrate. So the reason we do that is because the topic we're speaking about is directly connected to wherever that is stored through our eyes and in the back of our brain, in the subcortical brain. So the subcortical brain and our body and emotion, they all connect. And then we access basically everything that is connected to that anxiety. So I will guide you to look at wherever that anxiety is. And then you will access all the information that is stored within you that is relevant for what you're feeling right now. That means you have access to information that is not accessible through your thinking mind. And we can clear this way trauma and stuck emotions and beliefs and thinking patterns that are very deeply rooted that we usually wouldn't be able to access.
Right. And some people feel like, well, the pain is just too deep and too grand that you can't heal from it. But you have a very different belief about that, right?
I do. I do for different reasons. One is because I've literally survived the impossible. And I was able to heal. And I'm going to share this because I think it's relevant for people to understand kind of trauma you can heal. I was trafficked and raped and abused for the first 20 years of my life.
Wow.
And that depression that I was relating to by the time I was 27, that was like everything that I had suppressed. I didn't even remember that this happened to me. Because it's so painful and ongoing for so many years that the only way for me to cope and survive was just to dissociate, meaning to stuff it somewhere deep into my subconscious. And I came to this turning point in my life where I understood that it's possible to heal. And I have. That doesn't mean that every once in a while there's not more coming up that wants to free itself, but it's not defining who I am.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't take over my life. I have a family, I'm married, I'm fully functioning, and that is because of the work and the healing that I've done, because of what I do. And I've seen so many people throughout the years, that so many clients of mine that have really transformed their lives. So deep healing is absolutely possible.
But what about when we're afraid to face that pain?
You know, there's a catch with that. Because that pain, and I'm going to use you now, the anxiety that you mentioned, just I'm going to jump on the wagon because it's easy to use that as an example. That anxiety, or for whatever it is for somebody else, okay, that goes with you wherever you go. Whether you face it or not, it's there and it's sitting in the shoulder. Does that make sense?
It does.
It doesn't go anywhere. So you go have breakfast with your kids, it's there. You go to work, it's there. We go shopping, it's there. We meet with friends, it's there. It's always there. Versus when we actually face whatever is there. Okay, pain, the anxiety, whatever it is for each individual, then we can start resolving it and healing. When our lives start to shift and change and transform in ways that we can't even
Wouldn't it be
imagine.
Great if life came with remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Now, would you say healing happens on all levels?
Definitely. I will often ask my clients in the beginning of the session, let's say, they'll say, okay, I feel the sadness, like a choking in my throat. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'll have them describe what it feels like, what it looks like. And I will go back at the end of the session. I'll say, okay, where the sadness was in your throat, what's there now? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes either it will look completely different.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, oh, that choking is not there anymore. Sadness is not there anymore. It means it happens on all levels.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Now, do you have younger clients? Is it better when you're at a certain stage in life, or does it work for anyone?
It works for anyone mm-hmm. at any stage in life as long as you're ready.
Ah, so that's the key. You have to be ready to do the healing work.
Yeah. You have to be ready. You have to want it. You have to want a change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with everything, you know? It's like even someone who wants a better job. Mm-hmm. They have to want the better job. That's not just going to fall in their lap. They'll have to actively engage in making phone calls and looking for a job. It's the same with healing. Mm-hmm. Someone wants to lose weight. They're not just going to lose weight because they're thinking about it. They have to be, they have to take an active step, and they have to truly want that change in their life.
That is so true. Tell me what's giving you the most hope right now.
Hope. I don't like the word hope.
Mm-hmm.
I had a client a few weeks ago. She described hope as so beautifully. I didn't ask her. It just came up in her process. And she said, hope is like empty promises. It's like empty clouds. And I couldn't have put it in better words.
Right.
Hope is just another projection of our past. You know, we always think the future is going to be better and brighter, and you know, the future is going to bring us all the things we didn't have in the past. But our future is always a reflection of our past unless we make a conscious choice. Actually change something.
That's deep. I never really thought about it like that. That's a really interesting perspective, because you will just like kind of sit in contemplation, right? If you're not deliberate about like the change that you're going to make in order to see this future transformation.
Which is also, again, you know, connects me back to our subconscious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Hear them out. You're just going to you're going to repeat the same pattern. Nothing's going to change.
Right.
You can't change it. It's so embedded in your consciousness on all levels that even if we want to, we have to first become aware of them. Mm-hmm. We first have to recognize, oh, okay, this is happens over and over again. Why is this happening over and over again? What is it in me that is attracting the same situation over and over?
Yeah. Oh, wow. So you really have to take ownership and accountability for having that transformation too, in order to see that progress and that healing. Wow. Now, how can people follow your thought leadership?
My thought leadership. I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn and mainly my website.
Mm-hmm.
Website, it's naomimarad.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all of my information is on there.
Okay, well, I will make sure that we copy all of that down in the show notes. Is there any one thing that you wished I had asked that I didn't ask?
I think one thing I'd like to add is that it's so worthwhile dealing with your pain. Because you already know what your life looks like when you don't do the work. You already know what it feels like. And often we're stuck in our comfort zone, and our pain is often also like our safe place. It's what we know. We know how to deal with it. We know how to deal with getting up in the mornings, feeling depressed. Like, we know that feeling, okay? And there's a certain comfort in that feeling, even though it's very uncomfortable. And creating change is scary for people, but your life only gets better from that moment that you step on that trajectory and you make that choice, that decision to take responsibility for your life. Everything begins to change, and it begins to change for in a positive way.
I love that. Thank you so much for being here and sharing with us. This was really helpful because I know all of us have some sort of trauma that we have to heal from, right?
Everyone.
Yes. Well, this has been so great. Thank you so much, Naomi.
That's a wrap to another edition of Future Health Now. We're incredibly grateful for the opportunity to serve you with this content and want to stay connected. The best way to do this is to sign up for our monthly newsletter at futurehealthnow.com. While you're there, we want to hear your feedback and make sure you feel this community is a resource that helps you feel best equipped for the public health education journey, one that you'll be proud to be a part of, and share the content with others so we can empower the healthiest, well-informed human population in history. If you haven't already rated the show on Apple or wherever you listen to your podcast, please simply tap the number of stars you feel this show deserves. This helps to get this content in front of more people and again, gauge how we can continually add more value to this community. This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help from our executive producer and production team at Chat with Leaders Media. If you're looking to launch your very own B2B growth podcast in the industry you serve, go to chatwithleaders.com. Now go enjoy a healthy, encouraging, and joy-filled day.